everyone. Welcome to the Crafty Garden Mom Podcast. My name is Tanisha. If you're a new listener, welcome, welcome. Thanks for giving me a listen. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. So I hope everyone's doing well, enjoying summer, if it's summer where you are, where you're listening from. We are off to a great start with summer. The girls are already in camps and having lots of fun, coming home exhausted at the end of every day, and just having a good time. Sam is in a new camp this summer where they go someplace different every single day, whether it's educational, like to the museums in DC, or to some of the great water parks that we have in this area. I've spoken about that before. They're getting to go to some that even I don't travel that far to go to the water parks. So they're traveling all over the Metro DC area and having a really, really good time. And Maddie, at the end of the school year, had her dance recital. If you follow me on Instagram, I'm Crafty Garden Mom on Instagram. I did post some pictures of her in the recital, and she loves dance. I'm really, really happy. She definitely wants to do it again in the fall. We, other than swim lessons, which actually we aren't continuing after June until the fall, we really don't sign the kids up for any additional activities on the weekends during the summer. We take a break from all that. But she really liked dance, and so I'm going to have her continue in it. A little different from Samantha, where I had to pull and tug her out of bed every Saturday morning to do dance, but Samantha found her niche this past year too and really liked soccer. And as soon as the season was over, she was already talking about missing it and wanting to continue with it. And yeah, so she's, you know, from what I can tell, she wants to definitely continue that in the fall as well. So good ending. And we just got her Sam's report card, and it was all P's, which, you know, at her school, they don't do A, B, C, D, F grading. They just do I or P. And to be very honest, I kind of feel that could mean anything, right? Like a P is, are they average, above average, doing, like, what does that mean? But P means progress, and they're doing just fine, and they're ready to move on to the next grade, I guess. I don't know. Luckily, I was in contact with her teacher all through the year and was kept up to date with her schoolwork and how she was doing. So I didn't feel at all uncomfortable by the end of the year that she wasn't going to do well. But I just, when you get the report card, it's kind of like, really, what does this mean? P? Like, I guess I'm old school enough to be like, is this an A or a B in English and math? And like, how is she doing relative from one to the other? Anyway, I guess that's just how it is now. Anyway, so she had a very good school year, and she is looking forward to third grade. I can't believe third grade already. Really? Really? I mean, halfway. She's halfway through elementary school, she is halfway. She's K through 2 is the first 3, and then now she's on the last 3 years. So it's hard to believe. Goes by too fast. And Maddie starts kindergarten next fall, not this fall. One more year at her preschool. So yeah, I can hold on to that one more year. Although she's ready, man. She's already doing kindergarten work, and I don't think socially she's ready, probably. You know, she definitely needs that additional year and a half of maturity that you get between the ages of 4 and 5, 5 and a half when you start kindergarten. But in terms of the schoolwork, she's definitely doing kindergarten level work and reading small short sentences and things like that. So I'm very, very happy with where she is. So anyway, they're both good. We're really good. Since the last episode, which was at the end of April, I did take the month of May off. May was so crazy. I'll fill you in a little bit of what went down between the last episode and this episode. So we went on our cruise. The first week of May, we went on our Disney land and sea, although the land portion was very short, but the land and sea vacation to Disney. We flew down on a Saturday to Orlando, and we spent Sunday, all day Sunday, at the Magic Kingdom Park. And it was Maddie's first time going, although Sam really didn't, we took her when she was three-ish, three and a half maybe. So she really didn't remember a whole lot at all about it. But, you know, that's the kind of thing where it's just to have the fun in the moment. No matter what you do with a three-year-old, you can't expect them a year later, heck, a month later to really remember it. So anyway, it was fine. It was almost like a new, it was basically a new experience for both of them. Maddie does not like characters in costume, particularly if you're an animal. She didn't want to meet Mickey Mouse. She didn't want to meet Minnie. She didn't want to meet Pluto, Donald, any of the characters. We got there at the, we got to the Magic Kingdom just about right as they opened, I think at 9 a.m. And right when you go through the gates and you get right before you go down Main Street, there's, I think it's Town Square, something like that. And there were some characters. I think it was Minnie and Pluto, if I'm not mistaken, who were the characters there. And the line wasn't long. There were maybe half a dozen people, you know, kids standing in line to get their picture. So I was like, this is a great opportunity. You know, we're here. We're fresh. We don't look like we've been on 30 rides all day. Let's get a couple pictures. Nope. Maddie refused. And I had gotten both girls autograph books, which they were excited about. And Maddie was excited to get hers filled with the princesses. And she did want to get Minnie's autograph. Maddie doesn't like animals, so she didn't have any interest in getting Pluto's, poor Pluto, autograph. But she wanted Minnie's autograph, but she didn't want to have to meet Minnie. Oh, this is my kid. So Sam was like, okay, I'll hold your book. And I kept asking, you know, I asked her a couple times, but I knew she wasn't going to change her mind. I mean, I really knew she was not going to change her mind. When she digs her heels in about something and she's very adamant, she really does not change her mind. And I could tell she was just like, I do not want to meet costumed, you know, characters at all. But she likes them. Like, she likes them on TV, and she likes Minnie, and she likes, she has a whole room with pink that is pink and filled with Minnie Mouse stuff. She's just about outgrowing it, or she has outgrown it, really. But yeah, so I knew she likes Minnie, but no interest in meeting her. Sam, on the other hand, was like, yes, I want to meet her. And she was in line and she was excited and no hesitation whatsoever. It's really kind of interesting when you see the big differences between your kids. So I went up there with Sam, and Maddie stood with her dad while she and I were getting our picture taken and getting the autograph. And Minnie was so cute. She saw Maddie standing over to the side, and she tried, you know, she held, and of course she can't talk, so she was holding out her hands, and she was kind of blowing Maddie kisses and asking her to come over, and she kind of crouched down. Maddie had none of it, you know, head buried in dad's leg, like, nope. So then here's the funny part. Again, this is my kid. She gets the autograph. Minnie's like, okay. And she gives Sam and me another hug. And, you know, we had taken a picture, and Maddie gets her autograph book back from her sister, and we're kind of starting to walk away. And all of a sudden, bye, Minnie. Bye. I love you. Thank you. Bye. And this is Maddie. Like, all, okay, now I'm at a good distance and you're not paying that much attention to me anymore. So now I can say bye, because you're not coming over to me. You're already with another kid. Like, she worked it out. Like, she timed it. It was really funny. And so this is pretty much how it went with any costumed characters like Minnie or Mickey or, you know, I think we also ran into Woody and I'm drawing a blank with at the name of Woody's female counterpart, the cowgirl. I'm drawing a blank. I can't think of her name. But in, I think it was Frontierland that we ran into them. Same deal. Wanted their autographs, did not want to meet them because they weren't people. They had the character heads. And I think that's what she really doesn't like, because when we're walking up Main Street, you know, they have there was a dancers, performers that came out in this old fashioned convertible car. They, you know, stop the car in the middle of the street. They get out. They're in like this Victorian pretty dresses and spats. And, you know, the guys are in their button up vests and, you know, very kind of old fashioned Easter. What is that Judy Garland movie? The Easter Parade one. She was in a couple, Meet Me in St. Louis, that kind of theme. Maddie was perfectly fine meeting them. After their show, they, you know, were taking a couple selfies with people. They had to like move on very quickly down the street. So they weren't really taking posed photographs, but if you had your camera out, they would take a quick selfie with you. And she was perfectly fine doing that. She was, you know, "You're so pretty" to the lady, and she liked their umbrella, and, you know, she asked if she could get in the car. All she was perfectly fine meeting real people in a costume or in, you know, princess dress or dress up. But if they had a character head on their head, she wanted nothing to do with them, even if they were some of her most beloved characters. Nothing to do with them. And so Sam is a bit of a roller coaster fiend. And I like roller coasters. I think I've gotten to the age, though, where I can't do one after the other after the other. And the Magic Kingdom doesn't have a whole lot of roller coasters. But we had Fast Pass for Space Mountain, which the last time we had gone there with Sam, she was much too young to ride Space Mountain. Well, this time she was definitely old enough and she was very excited. So while we were going to Space Mountain, and I think Belle, and I asked, you know, we asked her, "Do you want to meet them?" And she was like, "Yes, yes." Sam kind of did, but she really wanted to ride the roller coaster more than she wanted to meet the princesses. She's not as into the princesses as Maddie is, which is kind of understandable. You know, Sam started to go out. I don't want to say fully outgrowing. I mean, she definitely, if the movie is on, she'll watch the movie like Frozen or Beauty and the Beast, but she's not as into it as Maddie is. Where Maddie is, "I am a princess. I'm hanging with the princesses. These are my peeps." That's what she was all about at Disney. So she got it in there, and I was texting my husband, like, "Is she okay?" You know, because she'd only had the kind of, "I don't want to meet Minnie," and she was okay meeting that lady in the dress, but I still wasn't sure how she was going to do with these princesses. Well, she was hugging on them, and it actually turned out to be, surprise, surprise, it was Anna and Elsa that were in there. I guess by the time, I think it was kind of a long line that my husband and Maddie were in. I mean, I think they probably waited about 40 minutes. So by the time I think they got up there, Belle and Cinderella were going on break, and I guess Elsa and Anna were the next ones coming on, so they got to go in and meet Elsa and Anna, which Maddie was over the moon about, like, so thrilled. So she got to do that, and we rode, you know, of course we rode the rides, and let me tell you, it's been a little while since we've gone to Disney, and the last time we went, when Sam was 3, so that would have been 2010, I don't remember the pins, the collectible pins, being as big a deal as they are now. Have you seen these things? If you guys have gone to Disney, nobody warned me about this. I'm like, I must have missed this when I was looking at the Disney Mom website, because I think I was paying a little bit more attention to the cruise, or, you know, the things we would be doing on the cruise, because I completely missed that these pins, these collectible pins, have become such a big thing. So our rule, quote unquote, when we go to places like this, the amusement parks, where, you know, Disney does it, it does, of course, does the marketing where you have to go up Main Street to really get anywhere. So you're passing all these shops of temptation that your kids, you know, immediately start. Can we go in here? I want this. Can you buy? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and you're like, no, keep walking. Just keep your head up. Look at the castle and keep going. We're going to the rides. Like, shopping comes later. So our rule is shopping comes later. Like, we're, you know, basically that is mom and dad do not feel like schlepping around all this purchased junk all day long, possibly losing it, having to figure out how to squish bags into rides with you. Yeah. I'm so not about that. You know, I'm even as a mom with two young kids, I had a small purse that I slung over my one shoulder and wore, you know, down by my waist, that had not even a full wallet. I think I had my cell phone, my ID, a credit card, and some cash. And I think that was about it. I mean, I did carry, I think, my sunglasses too, but it doesn't hold much. And I kind of purposely do that. I'm like, you know, because otherwise, you know, if you're carrying a tote bag around, people look at you and, you know, your family's like, oh, can you hold this? Can you put this in there? Can you hold my water? I'm like, no, sorry. No, hold your own water. Hold your own water. Hold your own stuff. I am not your Sherpa. So I was like, no, we're not carrying all that around, you know. And luckily, there is that beautiful castle, which does enchant the children, especially if this is their first trip. So they kept, you know, I kind of kept them moving and we kept them going, and they were really, you know, just in love with the castle. So with the pins, though, I guess you never know how much attention your kid is paying. They're not paying any attention to you, but they're, you know, you never know how aware they are of stuff going on around them, because Sam, at some point early in the day, started talking about these pins. Mommy, I want to get these pins. I want to get one of those things that goes around your neck with the pin so I can trade with the people. Look, Mom, we just passed someone. They're trading and she had some good pins. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because of course I've seen that in the stores Disney has sold pins. I mean, this is not my first time going to Disney. Growing up as a kid, we went to Disney many, many times, to the point where my dad was like, I'm not going to see that big rat one more time. Now, as a grandfather, he is like, oh yeah, I'm taking the kids to Disney, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, there came a point when we were kids that you were like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Been there, done that plenty of times. And we did live in Southern California and had season passes. So yes, we did. I have been to Disney many times. So I know about the, you know, quote unquote collectible pins. They were, you know, in the shop, on the floor, and there'd be like the spinner rack and there'd be a dozen or so collectible pins. No. Let me tell you, they have upped their game. They have cornered. They have doubled, tripled down on these pins, and because they have realized that kids love to trade. Adults love to trade. I saw plenty of adults trading. Especially, there's so many Disney, huge, rabid Disney fans that they'll, you know, that have the money, they will just buy all the pins there are, right? And trade and go back and forth. Well, I didn't know any of this. There's not like a pamphlet that they hand you that I could tell that tells you about this. No. If there was any signage, they didn't do a good enough job to garner my attention. I mean, there's just so much going on around you that it's hard to focus in on that kind of thing. Especially for me, when it was like something to quote unquote purchase and I'm actively trying to move on beyond that and keep my kids going. Wasn't paying attention. But Sam started talking on and on and on about these pins. So finally, I think around lunchtime, there was a kiosk, because of course there's going to be a kiosk of pins, just pins, just pins. So we walk over. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm looking, and she's like, see, I told you. And then the lady who's working there, she starts to explain it. She's like, yeah, you can buy a starter pack, which includes it's basically a ribbon. Hint, hint, you can go to Michael's and make one, but we're not talking about that, minus much less the $40 price tag Disney puts on this ribbon. And it comes with, let's say, 6 to 8 pins. And you can get them in the Disney villain theme, or you can get them in Alice in Wonderland theme. You can get a Frozen theme. You can get a Cars theme. You can get a whatever Disney theme you can think of. Then that's a starter pack. If you're a newbie or a rube or a clueless one like me, then of course, that's your starter pack. Then they have hundreds of different individual pins you can purchase to add to your ribbon. And then, because they are so good at this, the employees, not every single Disney employee, I think the ones who work in retail, and then they probably sneakily have people just walking around, that's their job, wearing their own ribbon with their pins. And the employees get special pins. You can't buy them. You have to trade with the park employee for one of their pins. Now, they don't negotiate with you. So they don't say, well, no, you know, if you want that pin, kid, you have to give me that one. No, they as soon as you say, I'll give you this pin for that pin you're wearing, they immediately do the trade. Like, they make it so that, you know, the kids don't have to feel bad or feel like they don't get, you know, that kind of thing, which I, you know, it's fine. But the kid does have to give up a pin. Like, they don't just hand it over without the kid or the adult, like I said. I'm mainly talking about my kid. Does have to give up a pin. So they have to be selective and choosy and willing to give up pins. Sam was all about it. Like, all about it. I bought her the starter pack. Now, you know, we had given the kids, they had a certain amount of money that they were able to spend. And I said, if this is what you want to get, then this is your souvenir. This is all your, you know, we buy one thing. That's it. Whether it's a stuffed animal or these pins, we're not buying a whole slew of this stuff. Because also, keep in mind, we were also about to go the next day on a cruise ship where I'm sure there was going to be additional Disney stuff, she says politely, to purchase. So I was like, this is it. You pick your one thing. This is it. So I bought her the starter pack. And then I said, any additional pins that you want to buy, you need to use your money. And she had allowance money that she'd been saving up. And her grandparents gave her some money to, you know, for her vacation trip and all that. So she had money of her own. And she selectively bought pins, and, you know, it was very good. It was a good lesson for her because, you know, I said, how much is, if you want those 3 pins, add it up to how much it is, those kinds of things. So, and then she commenced to trading. And it just, I guess the marketer in me is like, boy, they just know how to do it, because I mean, it's brilliant. Like, the retailer and marketer in me is like, this is brilliant. Like, because, and also as a buyer, I know exactly how much those pins cost, especially in the kind of bulk that Disney is able to purchase them at. Pennies, folks. And I'm not kidding when I say pennies. Oh my goodness. And I will admit that because I have a fondness for the Disney villains, I did end up, because I really didn't see anything else I wanted as a souvenir. I really just didn't feel like carrying anything. And these were flat. I did end up buying myself the villains starter pack. I didn't do any trading. It's actually still in its packaging. I haven't even taken it out of the package. I guess I'll take a picture of it and I'll I'll post it in the show notes just if you want to see. Because I just really like the villains, the Disney villains. And this was a cute one. So I ended up purchasing that. But I just, and then, of course, because as soon as Maddie sees her sister with one of these, you know how this goes. So Maddie got one too. Maddie didn't quite get the trading portion of it. And I don't really think, I think once she got the ribbon and she got her pins, and I think with her money, she bought like one or two additional pins. And of course, all princesses. I think she traded maybe one time, but I think she's of the age where it's still a little too hard to give up what you have, even if you want something else. Whereas Sam was like all about wanting these special, you can only get them from the Disney park employee kind of pins, you know. That was her game. But that's all the age difference, right? So it's fine. They had a good time. Now that we're back home, do you think I've seen these pin necklaces anywhere? Anywhere, folks? Nope. Nope, nope, nope. The magic is only at Disney. That's why they call it Disney magic. Because when you get home, and that spit and shine of Disney is off, those pin necklaces are tossed to the side. It's kind of funny. So I'm sure I've waxed on long enough about Disney. I haven't even talked about the cruise. The cruise was very good. I mean, if you've ever been on a cruise, Disney, and you've been to Disney, Disney does not do things halfway, you know, or poorly. It was spotlessly clean. I mean, I'm not even kidding to say that when I went to the bathroom, they were practically right behind me as I washed my hands, cleaning the counter, disinfecting, you know, taking a wet mop and like swiping out the bathroom. I mean, they were like on it. They do not want people getting, like, they do not want a breakout of anything on their ships. It was very, very clean. They were wiping surfaces down all the time. You walked into dinner, before you walked in, they were handing you disinfectant wipes. It was very, very clean, which had been for my husband because he kept calling them floating petri dishes, the cruise ships. He didn't really comment on the cleanliness, but, you know, I'm sure it was noted. But the ship itself was beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, and very spacious. The room that we had an ocean view and a little small balcony that enough to fit two chairs and a small table, and you could sit pretty comfortably out there, you know, two people. You don't spend a whole lot of time in your room though, but, you know, the last time I'd been on a cruise was with my parents and my brother, and I think we went on the Millennium Cruise in 2000. And the room, and that was for the four of us, and my brother and I were already pretty much adults. I mean, we were already adults. So four adults in one room we had two rooms, but it was my brother and I, it was like two twin beds. It was very small. But anyway, so this was very spacious. We were very, very comfortable. We had a queen size bed. And the girl slept in bunk beds that pulled down. That was also the sitting area. It was very spacious. We were very happy with that. And I like that your wristband pays for everything that you might need to pay for. Any incidentals, everything is just charged to your account. It also is how everybody gets in and out of their room. The key card, like all of that is on your wristband. And that was also actually something that was very new to me when we were at the park, was it's all your wristband. You get a wristband before you even leave to go on your trip. Disney mails one to you and you use that for everything. So I like that. I think the only thing I would add is maybe a GPS, not that we needed it, but I think for security's sake, I think it would be, especially if little ones, would be kind of cool if there was a GPS version. But regardless, on the cruise ship, the food, phenomenal. Like every day, something different. Sam, who is a carnivore at heart, she ate steak every night and loved it. the everything's cooked to order. The only thing that was a buffet was like at lunchtime in the cafe where you get breakfast or lunch, but you can also do a sit down breakfast and lunch. There are several different restaurants you get to rotate through each of the nights you're there. There were a couple of adult only restaurants. I had not booked my husband and I at one of those. I kind of just felt this was a family trip, and I knew the girls would be spending most of their day either swimming or doing their thing or in the kids club. So I was kind of like, yeah, I want us to eat dinner together. And, you know, this is still a family trip. So we ate dinner together and it was great. It was to the point where the girls were go, go, go so much. I think there were one or two nights they were falling asleep at the table at dinner. Like, because we also had, unfortunately, by the time I booked the cruise, the first seating for dinner, which was, I think, 5:45 or 6 p.m., was already filled. So we had to take the 8 p.m. dinner time. And by then, usually the girls, especially Maddie, are kind of wrapping it up for the day. Add in a full day of activities like you have on the ship or when you're in port. By 8 p.m., they were half asleep. I mean, it was all we could do to get them to eat a little bit. And Maddie just usually went back to the room. I mean, she tried to rally a couple times when she saw her sister was going back up to the kids club area. But yeah, no, she was ready to go to bed. I posted that on Instagram too when we were on the trip, I posted a picture of Maddie kind of pooped, conked out on the couch in the room. But we had a ball. We stopped at Castaway Key. And beautiful private island that Disney has done. Again, very clean. They served us a barbecue lunch that was delicious. And we also had stopped at Nassau in the Bahamas, but it rained all day. So we didn't even bother getting off the ship. We just stayed on the ship and did some activities on there. That was the weekend that the Avengers opened. So the girl, or not both girls, Sam went and saw the Avengers. The movie Cinderella was playing, so we got to see that in the theater. There were several Broadway-style shows in the theaters. I mean, it was just amazing. It was an amazing trip. The only thing that was a little disappointing was the character greetings. Now, the plus is that there are a lot of character greetings, like whether it's individual or group greetings. But the ones for the princesses in particular, if you didn't know, which we didn't really, they had a sign up and there was a cutoff time, which I really didn't know. I guess I had been led to believe that there were enough openings that everybody got to meet the princesses, or most people, you know, if you wanted to, you could meet the princesses. I guess they've changed that in the last couple months where there's a sign up for the princesses meet and greet. And once that's cut off, once they've reached a certain number of people, whether it's adults or children, they cut it off. So you can't meet the princesses. And both times they had it, we missed the cutoff. So we only got to see most of the princesses from afar. Maddie was, they didn't complain. Like there was no crying or tears about it. But it was a little disappointing. I mean, because literally they had like six of the princesses all lined up and you could take a picture with all of them. It would have been very cool picture to have. But it's fine. You know, whatever. It's fine. But Maddie was very happy to meet Tinkerbell. Like she was one of the single pictures and there wasn't a sign up for her. You just had to get in line before I think she was out there for like 45 minutes and there was a cutoff, I think at the 30 minute mark or something. But we were in line fine and Maddie got to meet her and she had no interest in meeting Goofy, who is the other single character on the day that we decided to do it. Other than that, I'm sure there were plenty of character signings. The girls were either at the kids club or in the pool. And when I asked them, do you want to go meet so-and-so? No, not really. I'm happy. Happy swimming. I'm happy doing this. I'm like, okay. I'm not pushing them to go stand in a line. So it was a great vacation. Great vacation. I find it kind of funny that the girls are now asking, so where are we going this summer? Hello. That was our trip. That's it. No more. So that's what we've been up to. For me, we came back, and within a couple weeks, I was going to New York for Book Expo, which is the largest book conference here in the U.S. For my job, and it is go for 4 days straight, and I mean 6 a.m. to 12 a.m. most a couple of nights. Like, we were out until 1 or 2 in the morning a couple nights, and then I stayed over one night and met up with my cousin, because I have family who live in the New York area, and my cousin came into the city, and she and I went out. So I had several nights out. I was really tired. But it was good. There are lots of great books coming. It was a pretty low key on the floor. The show floor was pretty low key, I thought, and it's definitely a much smaller conference size. I mean, it's still at the Javits Center, and, you know, relatively speaking, it's huge, but compared to 5-10 years ago when I was going, it's probably maybe half the size of what it used to be. So it used to be ginormous, and now it's just really big. But it was good. I got a lot done, and that's done for a year, which is good. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking at my notes here. That's pretty much what's been going on. Ever since then, I've just been basically taking what I talked about and learned and wrote down at Book Expo and putting that into play for fall and holiday. So that's what I've been doing. Okay, so I'm 36 minutes in, and I haven't even talked about anything crafty, because all along this time, I have been doing crafty things. Not so much sewing, although I do have a sewing project to talk a little bit about. But a lot of art journaling and some knitting. So the first finished object that I have, is the Flora Planner Pouch or Case from Jenny of Clover and Violet. And she, came up with this cute little pouch case. It's a zip case, that is probably about 5 by 8. Is the original size, and I saw her posting it on Instagram and really liked it. I have been wanting to buy or make or find a cute little supply case anyway to hold all my pens for planning or for my art journaling. And so I saw her make this, and then I also saw she posted under the picture that she was working on a pattern and she was looking for testers. And usually I don't agree to test patterns, because I always worry about the time crunch element, and I never want to leave, you know, a designer hanging if I just find I can't find the time to actually come, you know, do it. So I, as much as I might want to test a pattern just to get a feel for it, or get the first scoop on it, I don't even bother saying, yeah, I'll do it, because I just worry too much about holding them up. But she, you know, first of all, she got plenty of people who wanted to test, so it wouldn't have been hanging on me. But I said, I've got a little time. As long as I get, you know, it sounds like she's going to have the pattern ready pretty quickly. And I know I'm not so busy that I wouldn't be able to get this done. Now, of course, I left it to the last minute of when she said she wanted to, she would like to get feedback by. Of course I left it to the last minute. But regardless, I still made the deadline with pictures. So I was very happy. And that was even with a little bit of frustration putting in the zipper. I've put in plenty of zippers on clothing, and even on, like, when I've made tote bags. I've never put in one that goes all the way around and curves on a bias an item. So if you picture like a planner, like a paper planner, like a Franklin planner, those the old fashioned ones, which have come back in vogue. If you picture it open and a zipper all around the outside, that's what I mean. I've never put one of those in. Well, it's not as easy as I thought at first it was going to be. Because I'm thinking, oh, you know, I've sewn plenty of things on, you know, with bias, and I can go, it's just going around. It's like putting on binding. I mean, essentially it is really like putting on binding. It's not exactly like that because when you go to close it, to zip it up, mine kept getting all wonky. Like it wouldn't line up. So when you picture this bag as when it's supposed to zip from bottom all the way around to the top, like a reverse C or the letter D, your front half and your back half fabric pieces are supposed to line up to match up. Mine kept skewing. And I mean, I sewed it in because I arrogantly thought the first time, oh yeah, this, it's like putting on binding. I can do this. It's a zipper. I can do this, Zipper foot, that it doesn't really scare me. I should have been a little scared. That's what I get for thinking I know what I'm doing. So I put it in and it was all wonky. And it wasn't like a smidge wonky where I could have maybe decided to live with it or, figured out how to shove it back into place. No. This was noticeably what the heck is going on with your pouch? I can't even imagine having sent Jenny, who's the designer, pictures of. I can't even imagine. Like that would have been a that's not quite what I had in mind. Now, I started to feel a little bit better about it because I noticed we there was she created, which is brilliant. She created a private Facebook group for the testers, the pattern testers. So we were able to chat back and forth about making this pattern and things like that, and give her feedback, which she wisely used to revise and update the pattern as it went. So it was perfect when it goes to press and goes out. So I noticed after sewing it in, I say sewing, meaning a 2.5 or 3 stitch length. And I'm purposely saying sewing because I finally wised up and basted it in the third time. Yes, I ripped out all those little stitches all the way around my case twice before I wised up and did a rookie mistake. Because if there is one thing when I have sewn clothes that I've learned is you baste first. Especially when you're doing a new technique or you're going around a curve or, an area, like if you're doing armpits or the arm, if you've got the top of the arm, you want to make sure it lines up and then lays flat. You baste it in first and then see how it is before you actually do your shorter length stitches. And for those of you who aren't sewers, basting just means you're not knotting it at the beginning or end, and you're using a much, I usually just crank it up to the longest stitch length my machine, whichever machine I'm working on, will do. For mine, I think it's a 6 or a 7. Versus my regular stitch length, when I'm actually sewing something together, I do about a 2.5 to a 3. So it's a much longer stitch length, and you don't knot it at the beginning or end so that you can easily pull those stitches out. However, it holds it secure, just secure enough that you get an idea of, is it lining up correctly? Is this the, is it work? Yeah, I finally wised up and basted the dumb zipper in to make sure my pouch wasn't all wonky and crazy looking. And then I was reminded after the third time of doing this, I was reminded this is why I don't test stuff for people because I've got all this anxiety, not just about is it going to turn out nice for myself, but is it going to turn out nice enough for her? So I had a little bit of anxiety about that. So it'll be a long time before I test something else out again. It all turned out fine. There was nothing wrong with her pattern, the directions. She did, after some feedback from several of us who'd had the same difficulty, she did tweak a few things and add a few more lines in the directions on inserting the zipper. I don't want to talk specifics because it is a for sale pattern that she's selling, but needless to say, if you are looking for a supply case, she actually, by the end of it, by after all of our feedback, it's one pattern, but she provides three different sizes. So you can make a mini or a medium size, which is what mine is. And then you can also make a larger size, which is probably closer to an 8 by 11, I'm guessing. I don't have the pattern in front of me for the finished sizes, but I will post a link to the pattern. It's a great pattern. What I like is, if you like patchwork, you can customize, of course, your cover and your binding to make it really pretty or modern, or you can do some embroidery if you have any, you know, special blocks that you're waiting, you know, to do a special project for with. You can do that. You can customize the inside. It has a zip pouch, and it has, you use mesh to make pockets. It's just very cute, and it's a simple pattern. It's a simple final product, but very usable, user-friendly. And I'm probably going to try and tackle the larger size, I think. We'll see. She does recommend using a purse zipper, which I hadn't used before. I don't think even in the tote bags I've made, I really paid attention to the type of zipper that I was using, other than the length. But apparently there's this thing called purse zippers that I never knew about. And the only difference really that I can tell between a purse zipper and a standard zipper is not the zipper part, but the tape or the fabric on either side of the metal or plastic zipper is a little wider in a purse zipper, which gives you a little bit more room to maneuver. Whereas a standard zipper, it's probably not quite 3/8 of an inch. A purse zipper is probably about half an inch, if not a scant bit wider on either side. So it gives you just a little bit more room, which makes it a little easier to insert into things like this, where you're having to go around turns. And this one, I mean, it has four corners. So you're going around four, like a quilt, four times. And it's curved too. So it can be a little bit tricky there. But once you have, I recommend basting it in first. And if you find that you're able to zip it up just fine, then just go right ahead and sew it in. And it's not that big of an item that it's going to take you very long. So I do recommend that pattern. And I will post pictures of that in the show notes. Let me see. What else have I been working on? Oh, artist trading cards. I did, again, Instagram has become like my new blog. Instagram has stolen my blog, basically. But I have been doing more artist trading cards, and I've swapped a couple with some artsy people that I know at work and just around. And I finally put to use some of these book covers that publishers have sent me for years and years. And I've usually just, once I've made a decision on a buy, I throw them in the recycling bin, you know, because otherwise I'd have stacks and stacks and stacks of these things just accumulating. And I don't have the space in my office for that. But I finally just, when I started making the artist trading cards, the covers that I use are mainly from the romance novels, particularly the Regency romance novels. They don't make so many of like the ripping bodice romance covers anymore, but some of them are kind of fun. You know, they definitely still have the shirtless guy, and I tend to put like a cheeky saying or you know, saying on them. And I'm actually trying, there was a book that I had that kind of had some really cute cheeky quotes, and I need to dig it up because they would work for this. But they're just fun, and it's just a great way to have a little bit of creativity and try out some of these products that I've been buying, like stencils and stamps and just things like that, and doing some collage. And so it's just been fun. I'll post a couple pictures of some of my recent ones as well, so you can take a look at those. And then art journaling. I have still been doing Lifebook. I am behind, but really you can, what's great. I mean, I think we're 26 weeks into the year. I mean, we're halfway into the year and I've probably done about half of the 26 lessons. So not too bad. I know there's plenty of people who said that they've pooped out a long, long time ago. I kind of jump around, which is the fun part of it. Once you purchase Lifebook, you get to keep all the lessons and, you don't have to do them in any particular order if you don't want to. So I kind of just look through them or whatever I feel like doing that day or, you know, that week I will work on. And I still have some that are incomplete. I kind of moved on and started doing something else, as I do. But I'm still enjoying it. The lesson, I mean, I would say, you know, if you are looking to do something like a life book, which is basically artist, art journaling, mixed media techniques from a lot of different well-known artists in the blogosphere, on Instagram, just they're out there. This is probably one of the best classes, workshops I've ever taken, particularly that it's all online. I mean, the videos each week, it's not like you just get like a 30-minute lesson. No, some of them have 3 or 4 45-minute each lessons within it, like videos that you can watch. It is a lot of content. I kind of like, you know, they're usually filming in their own studio and you can see some of in the background, you can see their workspace and where they work. And I just always like that. Workspace porn. I love it. And then this just the techniques and the supplies that they have you using and you may not have ever used before or really known what to do with some things and they demonstrate it. It's great. I mean, it's so worth it to me for the money that she charges. I think I paid $150 and it's 52 weeks of lessons and countless hours. I mean, it's not like it's, again, it's not just like it's an hour max per week. No, I think maybe out of the 26 so far, a handful of them have only done one video. Most all of them have done 2 to 4 separate videos. Usually it's mainly they break it up. It's all the same lesson. Like the end product is all the same within each video, but you're learning something different, but it's a lot of content. I mean, it's easily as if you were going if you were going to be with that person live to for several hours, that kind of content. So it's very good. I think the only thing missing is a little bit of the dialogue between the teacher and the students. I think that kind of peters out after a while. So, but the flip side is, I think fairly confident if you had a specific question for any of the teachers while Lifebook is going on, you would pretty easily be able to get a hold of that teacher. I mean, it's not like they go back underground or something once they've posted their lesson. There's enough dialogue there. And Tam, who is the coordinator of this whole thing, she's very accessible. She's very around on Facebook and Instagram. And I think I've had to email them once before about something and they immediately got back to me. So it's very, very well worth it. I will definitely be doing it in 2016. Whether or not I do all 52 lessons, which is probably doubtful, I would say even if I just did a dozen of the lessons, to me, it's very worth the time and money that I would put in, but that these teachers have thoughtfully put into it. I mean, I've paid more than that for a couple of artists that I really, really like Jane Davenport, and hers are definitely worth the money. And I speak to that not just as, you know, a fan, but as someone who, you know, definitely believes that artists should get paid what they're worth and their time is worth and the value of the information they're giving you, especially if it's a quality product that they're putting out, which their product, of course, is the class and the techniques that you're learning. I absolutely don't think any of them should be shy about charging a fair market price to each person. I mean, that is how, first of all, how they make their living. I strongly feel that they should place a proper value, a good value on their work. So I don't have a problem. Now, I have taken a couple classes where I was disappointed and I didn't feel I got my money's worth. I'm not really the type, I mean, unless it was like egregious, which it has not been, but I was just kind of like, I kind of already knew that, or I didn't feel I really learned that much new for the price that they were charging, you know, and I was a little disappointed. I haven't asked for a refund, you know, I'm just like, you know, that was the content. That was there. I'm just not interested in that style, I guess, as I thought I might be. And I just won't sign up for something again. There's plenty out there to choose from. But if you do happen to be looking, I can give two thumbs up to Lifebook for 2016. So now what I'm working on for knitting, I'm almost done. I'm on the cuff. No, not the cuff. The leg part of a pair of Hermione's Everyday Socks. That's the pattern name, Hermione's Everyday Socks. I am using Madeline Tosh Sock in the Copper Penny colorway. It is so in my color wheel. Fall, Copper Penny, like just so my color. These are socks for me. And second time is definitely a charm. I did finish my first pair of socks a little while ago, and those turned out okay, and I was happy with them, but I can definitely tell a difference the second time around. The first time I tried it, I got the fit right, you know, I didn't have to rip out anything, and this is a simple enough pattern that it's not driving me nuts. I'm actually able to memorize it. It's just a 4-row repeat. And they're coming along. They'd probably be further along if I wasn't focusing on some other crafty things. But yeah, I mean, I've been having a good time with these. So as soon as I'm done, I will post some pictures of those. But I will post a link to the pattern if you want to take a look. And that's in Ravelry. And it's a free pattern, actually. It's very popular. So and it's one I recommend. It's pretty simple. I did post, I believe, almost right after the last episode, another Outlander block in the Outlander series. I have kind of slowed down with these because I've just been working on other stuff. And as I've said before, the way my craft room is, and right now it feels so jam-packed. I do need to go in and selectively cull some stuff in there. But the way it is, I only have space to work on either a sewing project or an art mixed media project. I'm not comfortable with both because I'm the type of person, I need some space to spread out, especially with all the supplies that come with art journaling and mixed media. You just seem like paint, you know, you don't just have like one tube of paint sitting there. You have like six or seven at a time or more if you're me and you need a whole bunch of selection around you, and stencils and, you know, other ephemera that you might use on the page and collage magazines and all this stuff. And then I want to do a sewing project, I need to clear all that out and put my fabric choices out. And, you know, it's just, yeah, I don't have the space to do both at the same time. So lately, it's been a little bit more of the art journaling, but I was able to finish the Outlander block, and I do have several sketches of some others. I definitely want to do the Captain Jack Randall. Did you guys see that last episode? I'm trying to think if I've ever seen anything harder to watch on TV. It was really difficult to watch. Like, I've read the book, so I knew exactly what was coming, but the acting was so good in that show, but it was so hard to watch. Oh my gosh. But anyway, I want to do a Captain Jack Randall block because I just feel he is, particularly in books 1 and 2, and it's been so long since I read 3 that I can't remember if he's in 3 or not. But I do feel he is such a big part of the series that I wanted to include him. So I've got a sketch of him and another one of Jamie, who's near and dear to all of our hearts, and a single one of Claire as well. But I'm not saying yet when those are going to get done. They're in my mind. They will happen. And I will eventually be putting this quilt together, but it'll probably be into season 2 by the time that happens. And then that's pretty much craft-wise what I've been working on. I feel like this episode's already long. I took a long time talking about a life update. So what I will do is I'm actually just going to talk briefly about I don't even really have a whole lot in books to talk about, to be honest. I'll talk about, you know, I'm not going to talk about books. And no, isn't this, I feel bad because I always talk about books. What am I going to do? I'm on vacation in a couple weeks and I had already planned to record a podcast while I was on vacation. So more than likely what I will do is come back in that episode in a couple weeks and talk more in depth about some books that I've been reading. And there is one that I have purposefully not been talking about because I wanted, actually there's two now that I have been waiting to talk about because they don't go on sale until July. And I don't like to talk too much about books that I go on and on about because how much I like them. And then you can't go out and get it until, you know, 3-6 months later. Because I'm already reading books that don't come out until 2016. And how much of a, and there have been a couple of really good ones. So how much of a stinker would you think I am if I talked about a book that didn't come out until March of 2016? that's not nice. And I'm nice about books. So yeah, I don't want to do that to you. But by the time I come back in, I think the second week of July, which I will definitely record something then, I will talk about several books that I've enjoyed. Now, I will be honest, there's not a whole lot else I can talk about in this episode with books because they've kind of, I don't want to say been duds, but I haven't been like gripped by anything really. It does come out relative in like a couple weeks. I did read the new Ernie Cline. He wrote Ready Player One, which I did review very favorably. When I read that, his new one is Armada, and I think that goes on sale July 11th or 14th, maybe. Maybe July 14th. Hang on. Doorbell's about to ring. I just saw my mailman walking up, and he had a package in his hand, which I knew he was going to leave at the door. Anyway, I will say for that, because, you know, it's only a couple weeks out. I liked it. Do you guys remember the movie The Last Starfighter? It's kind of like that. Going down memory lane, Iron Eagle. Remember that? Lou Gossett Jr. Remember when Lou Gossett Jr. was in movies? How old am I? Anyway, yes. And those are kind of like nostalgic movies that when you watch them now, you're like, God, this was a bad movie. But when you're a kid, it's like the coolest thing. So it's, you know, The Last Starfighter reminded me, or Armada reminded me a lot of The Last Starfighter. And I do recommend if you are into sci-fi or action, teen action movies like that, you know, remember Goonies and things like that. If you're into those, I definitely recommend getting a copy and watching at least one time The Last Starfighter. But Armada was kind of like that, but I didn't like it as much as Ready Player One. I'll just be honest. I thought Ready Player One was a little bit more of a unique premise, a little bit. And Armada, to me, read even more like a teen novel. There's nothing wrong with teen novels. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. But how do I put it? I read, there are YA novels that you read that you can tell the author is trying to speak not just to 15 to 18 year olds. He or she is trying to speak to 15 to 18 year olds plus 40 year olds. And the language used is a little bit more sophisticated, the dialogue, the prose, those kinds of things. In this book, it was very, very much geared towards, I'd say, the seventh grade to 10th grade level. That's in my opinion. However, it kept me engaged enough that I read the whole thing. I wanted to find out what happened. There was enough nostalgia in there. There wasn't as much as there was in Ready Player One. But, you know, I do like the trope of teen saves the world, basically, you know, and discovers hidden talents within himself and, you know, to help save the world, and has to make all these decisions that even grown adults would find very difficult to make. If it's done well, it can be enjoyable. And Ernie Cline, he does a good job with that. He does a good job. I would say bottom line is, if you liked Ready Player One, I would definitely recommend Armada. If you haven't read Ernie Cline, but you're looking for a fun read, I would start with Ready Player One and see if you like that first, and then read Armada if you like his writing. So that's probably the closest I'll come to a book review, which I hadn't really planned to do, but I know it'll be coming out right around the time that I'm going to record again. So anyway, I think this episode is long enough. It's like 10 minutes longer than I had planned it to be, as usual. But I have missed talking to you guys. I hope all of you are doing well. I promise I will be back in a couple weeks with some more content. I had planned to talk a little bit about gardening, a couple new obsessions of TV shows that I've been watching, and some things that I've been listening to that I've really been enjoying. I will be sharing all of that with you, just catching you up on that kind of stuff. But I blabbed long enough about our vacation that kind of took up a little bit more time than I had expected. And I got to go pick up my kids now. So everybody take care. Please stop by the blog. Yes, I do still have a blog. And leave a comment. I would love to hear from you, see what you guys are up to. If you haven't already left a review or a star review on iTunes, I would so appreciate that as well. Please chat. Come and see me on Twitter. I am Crafty Garden Mom there, and on Instagram, on Ravelry, I am Tanisha. On Pinterest, I am Tanisha. Where else? Oh, yes. Facebook. I'm going to take just a couple minutes just to address something. Not even a couple minutes, but Facebook. I have been asked quite a few times now if I'm on Facebook, mainly via email, a couple direct messages on Twitter and Instagram. Yes, I'm on Facebook. I wouldn't say I'm not really Crafty Garden Mom on Facebook. I am myself on Facebook. And I'm certainly not saying I'm, you know, a phony, trying to be a phony here on Crafty Garden Mom podcast or blog or anything. But I will say that where I talk to you guys about my artistic life and crafty life and motherhood and those kinds of things, that's not really the dialogue I always have with like high school friends and college friends. And I would also say that my language isn't always as clean. My children aren't on Facebook, so, you know, I don't speak. Yeah. So let's just say, if you want to have dialogue or to see posts of my kids and my opinions on some things like that are in the news, feel free to follow me on Facebook. And if you friend request me, I will accept. I don't really go seeking out people anymore on Facebook. I've pretty much found like all the high school and college friends I might want to see what they're up to. And that's initially what I really used Facebook for. none of my, like, my parents aren't, oh, my dad is, but he's not active on Facebook. But, like, my mom isn't on Facebook. Thank God. and like I said, my kids aren't on Facebook. But, yeah, if there is something going for, so for, I'm saying this very badly, but I would say that I very rarely post craft stuff on Facebook. When I do post, it's probably an opinion that I have about something going on in the world. And let's just say that it's, you know, you may or may not agree. It doesn't matter to me if you do, in terms of, you know, I'm not trying to start an argument with anybody. And I respect everybody's opinion. I have people from all walks of life and all opinions of life, believe me, all opinions of life, on there. And as long as it's respectful and not argumentative, I guess, because like I said, I'm not really trying to get into an argument. My mom used to say when I was like 15, 16, and she would say, and she was probably my age now, she would say, yeah, you get to a certain age and you realize you're not going to change and they're not going to change. And you either have to decide we can still like each other, or you just have to go on your, about your business and go on your merry way. And that's pretty much how I am on Facebook. Now, I don't have anybody who does this, but if I were to see anybody post something, you know, egregious, you know, like pedophilia or something crazy like that, then I unfriend immediately, right? But yeah, you can post your opinions and your stuff. Yeah, not a whole lot shocks me. And I'm not trying to go on there and be on Facebook to shock anybody either. Most of my pictures are of my kids. So yeah, come and find me on Facebook and I'm happy to accept your friend request. But yeah, so that I hope answers the question of Facebook. And I don't have a Crafty Garden Mom fan page simply because, honestly, I don't need another place to try and have to keep up with. As you can see, I do a not so great job keeping up with my blog. And on Instagram, I'll post like 4 pictures in 2 days and then nothing for 2 weeks. So, and Twitter, yeah, I'm spotty there too. So yeah, I don't need another place to have to keep up with stuff. And Facebook, to be very honest, I'm pretty much that way too. I might post like 3 or 4 things in a row in one day and then not show up there again for 3-4 days. And my husband, who checks it all the time, he'll be like, did you see so-and-so's post? And you know, she's going to be having this event. And I'm like, really? I didn't hear about that. You know, or I don't know. Or so-and-so's son is graduating. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Oh, okay. Yeah. I never know what's going on until I go on eventually. So, but I'm happy to say hi, see what you're up to. Anyway, that's about it. Everybody take care. I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.